The juice is loose.
Yeah, I haven't been live for a minute. I was wondering if there was going to be a reference to that. And I guess the truth is, the answer to that is yes.
Okay. In all seriousness, I've been thinking, I can't stop getting the Dave Chappelle segment about O.J. Simpson out of my head. So all day long, all I've been saying is the juice is loose. In case you missed, it's not necessarily a joking matter. I know a lot of people have their own feelings, but O.J. Simpson passed away today after a long battle with cancer. Joe, can I go on a very small tangent very quickly?
I mean, when do we not?
I have never been more embarrassed for college football more than today. You want to know why?
Why?
Because the Heisman Trophy, or whoever is in charge of the Heisman Trophy, came out with something really nice about O.J. Simpson. Yet O.J. Simpson, okay, they say that about O.J., but yet Reggie Bush doesn't have his Heisman Trophy. So you have a guy that's been convicted of multiple things, got acquitted in one, which a lot of people still think that he did it, which, look, the justice system is what it is, so innocent until proven guilty. If the glove doesn't fit, you got to acquit. But how in the world can you come out and make a statement, if you're the Heisman Trophy, and say something, which it was nice about OJ, but yet you're going to blackball Reggie Bush? I'm embarrassed. I am utterly embarrassed for college football today.
Yeah, I saw that as well, and I think that is, and maybe this is a little bit of a momentum building situation for Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back. Again, it has been one of the biggest hypocrisies in the sport that he does not have his award, especially when what he accepted and did back when he did it is now widely accepted across the country. So right. Yeah, it's and stupid, you know, that you're acknowledging one guy but not acknowledging another.
You know what's crazy? Jane Daniels had an NIL deal on the suit that he wore. He wore a pin for money. A business paid for him to wear a pin. It's legal. I mean, like, it is 1,000% legal. Nothing wrong with it. He got paid! Like, what are we, like, oh my God!
Maybe Johnny Manziel will help him get it back, like we talked about long ago.
Okay. I agree with pretty much everything Johnny Manziel had to say about that. Can we find another spokesperson? Can Tim Tebow be the one that says it?
Hey, look, we've already said this already. We need more guys. We need Johnny Manziel to convince other guys. He can't be the one who's...
Do you really think that he can get Tim Tebow out of his Bible study?
He might be able to. You never know. Someone's got to convince him.
By the way, that Cam Newton interview with Shannon Sharp yesterday about the Florida team with Tebow, Hernandez, and all those dudes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I didn't catch it. What did it do?
If you are a college football fan, you need to go watch Cam Newton with Shannon Sharp yesterday. Oh, my God. Literally fighting, smoking weed, lifting weights, playing football. Did you go to class? Never. Did you get A's? Yes. Oh my God.
I mean, is that really that far off from what's happening at a lot of schools, or has happened at a lot of schools in the past 50 years in college football?
No. But it's just so, but see, here's the thing for me though, Joe. You'd think that those things are going on. And we played, so you know that some of that kind of stuff is going on. But for somebody that is on a national championship winning team, for them to come out and say that, that's a Heisman Trophy winner.
I mean, I'd love for more people to be public about it. I mean, Cam Newton's the guy. Like, if they really wanted to, you need more than just one person, but if they really wanted to produce a doc on Florida, I mean, he was excommunicated from that program for what he did. So, you know, one might wonder if
he cleared that up. He cleared that up. He said that he was not let go from Florida because he stole something.
He just transferred.
He transferred. He said that was done months ago about it, you know, regardless, but that's not what we're here to talk about. But I do think, you know, that was definitely a really cool video to get to, if you can watch it. Chris, I can't put up your comment. Gavin says, is Alabama having a QB battle with Milroe and Mack?
I don't know. It seems like there has been a little bit of a squashing of that conversation of if there is a competition between the two of them.
Very, very quiet coming out of Tuscaloosa, buddy. I tell you what.
Well, so this is why I don't really think that I projected that maybe there could be about a few weeks ago. But the fact that there's no reporting or really much discussion is usually an indicator to me that it seems like Milroe is leading the charge. Typically, and we're talking about spring quarterback battles today, which I'll let you explain in a second.
Mm-hmm.
None of the articles, if you look up quarterback battles or any info or intel, the Alabama situation isn't brought up once.
Can I tell you something? I think the Alabama media has got to get used to going to practice. I don't think they know what they're saying.
It's a very good point.
Because they were never at practice. I don't know a lot of these guys that have never been to a college practice know exactly what they're saying. And some of them will, because some of them are really good at their jobs. But I'm not going to call out names. I saw one of them talk about a post, you know, oh, look at this guy run a slant. Joe was a post rail concept. Where the Z wide receiver was running the post and he had a rail. It was more of a rub route, and then Milroe threw it. By the way, I got to give Milroe a little bit of credit. Now, this goes to DeBoer too. Joe, flips his hips, steps, throws. Last year's Milroe would have stayed open and threw. I do wonder if DeBoer has helped him footwork-wise and help him throw the football down.
It's a little too early to know if there's actually any impact.
I don't care about the throw. You
know, he's going to help him.
Well, but him moving his feet to make the throw is going to make him more dangerous, because if he does that consistently enough, he will be dangerous.
At the end of the day, there is a significant gap in terms of the coaching quality and day-to-day impact that he's going to get from DeBoer talking to him compared to Tommy Rees.
You know what's so crazy about that? Brian Kelly just had a Heisman Trophy winner, and you would think that Tommy Rees knows a little bit about quarterback play, right?
No, I mean, I think that's more telling of the fact that Tommy Rees should never have been hired as the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame or Alabama in the first place.
Maybe he's got nudes of everybody. Who knows? All right. Who knows? If he keeps getting coaching jobs, maybe he's got nudes of people. No, who knows?
Yeah, you would know if he had a Brian Kelly nude.
Why would I know?
Never mind. That went over your head.
No, it didn't go over my head. All right. Let's get to the real topics. Joe, the transfer portal is next week. Opens next Monday. We'll talk about some already portal news. Martinez, running back, Oregon State. You think he's going to Michigan State? We'll talk about that. Maybe going to link up with his old head coach. But Tennessee also is going to be making an offer. Let's see what happens there as well. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about quarterback battles, Nebraska, Ohio State, so many others. Is there anything that we'll discuss here today that you want to briefly it really sticks out to you?
No, the quarterback battle stuff, I think, is always a great conversation to have right at this point where we are. We're closing in on the end of spring practices. Spring scrimmages are coming around. Nobody's going to be crowned a starter right now unless it's an already established situation. But there is a lot of buzz coming out of some of these rooms. We did a segment last week, I think it was, where we talked about Devin Brown and Will Howard. And I think it opens up an even larger conversation of, if certain guys win, how does that impact the landscape? What does it mean for the national landscape in these competitions for winning the biggest conferences in the sport?
The biggest quarterback battle in the country that people are talking about, aren't talking about, has got to be at Ohio State, because they're the only ones with national title implications. We'll talk about that, but we'll see. Bear Alexander, I think for me, Joe, is the big thing. Going in the portal, not going in the portal, then he comes out and says, what the hell are y'all talking about? If he would have transferred, he would have been in 7 schools in 7 years. So he went to 4 different high schools, and this would have been his 3rd college. That would have been nuts.
Honestly, I think part of his decision making, I really do think, was just like the collective, I don't want to say bullying, but like everyone was criticizing him. I had people DMing me that had sons who played with him and pointing out some of the things that he did and the way that he acted.
I thought I might have been the only person. When I tweeted that, it might have been the same guy.
No, probably not. But my point is, though, here is that I think that the criticism might have opened his eyes and been like, shit, why am I jumping around so much? I should probably just stay.
I do want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think a lot of people panicked because a guy that is very connected to USC tweeted it, that he is hearing that there is a potential that he might enter the portal. He didn't say he was. He said there could be a potential.
Yeah.
And then everybody, 247 on three, everybody ran with it. And I think that they panicked.
I think multiple things could be true here. I think multiple things could be true.
That's what I was about to say. I think the kid could have told him maybe he was thinking about it, but they ran with it a little too soon. But we got lots to discuss. Dylan Raiola is going to be the quarterback in Nebraska. What do you think?
We'll have to wait until we get to that segment.
Let's get to it. Let's talk about our good friends over at BetOnline.ag. Joe, the Masters, Augusta, is here. I've been watching the Masters all day. Tiger started off hot, and then...
Shocking.
Don't talk about Tiger. I legitimately will come through this computer and choke you like you're Bart Simpson.
Settle down.
All right, but the Masters, so if you want to go over to Bet Online and place your bets, Koepka started off rough today too. So lots of things that you can go over there and bet on at betonline.ag. Use that promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV 50 at checkout. You'll receive a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Also, Bet Online, big UFC card coming up this weekend. You can go bet on that. I think I'm going to do a little parlay here, Joe, on Bet Online. UFC 300.
Big stacks coming.
Big stacks, big racks. By the way, I finally deposited my Jaden Daniels Heisman Trophy money.
Did you also place a bet for him to be a first round? Actually, I don't think there was a prop for that.
No, I don't think there was a prop. But you know, I do still have a bet out that I have not gotten on.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's at the break. Oh,
I hope you don't like that hat because you're going to be eating it, sucker.
I do like this hat.
I think I'm going to make you eat a pound of cake. How about that? A hat cake. You got to go buy a hat.
I mean, a pound's not that much cake.
Or we can just do a wash because I owe you bourbon from you winning the season.
That's no fun. We'll figure it out.
So talk about our good friends at BetOnline. Stay with us. We got lots to discuss. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events with the first to market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV 50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag.
We're back.
You know who is back? Arkansas basketball. John Cobb.
Wait. I said this on Twitter last week. He is basketball Jimbo Fisher. He is literally basketball Jimbo Fisher. And then everybody started talking about it. He couldn't be any more basketball Jimbo Fisher. Has a decorated past, started to stagnate a little bit at the end, and then gets paid a shit ton of money by a crazy, crazy booster that really wants him. And you know what's going to happen in 4 years? He's going to get fucking fired.
No, he's not.
Because he's mailed it in.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not. By the way,
did you think Jimbo was going to get fired?
Yes.
Want to bet? You want to bet Calipari doesn't last 5 years?
Yes, unless he retires. But yes, I do think he does. You know why? Because he had a more decorated past well more than what Jimbo did. Joe, he got to a round of the worst that he's doing. Hold on. The worst that he's doing is getting to a round of 32. You think that that's really going to stop? And by the way, a round of 32 at Arkansas, buddy, if they get to an Elite Eight, buddy, it's a different scenario, bud.
I don't think there's been a worse. He obviously is one of the great. One of the greatest coaches in college basketball history, but at the same time, I don't think there's a coach that has had more first round and second round upsets than he has had. So I don't want to hear shit from Arkansas fans when they get knocked out and they lose to Fairleigh Dickinson in 2027. I don't want to hear shit.
He's gonna be fine. He's gonna be fine. He's not gonna Jimbo this thing.
Gives me Jimbo vibes.
Okay. Well, look, we got to stay with Italians on the show. We stick up for Italians. Do you understand? Jimbo Fisher's, I don't even know what Fisher's last, what is he? What is a Fisher?
Probably English.
Yeah, fuck the English. All right. Those damn red coats. You ever seen the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson?
Million years ago.
And that little redheaded kid, I want to kill me some red coats. All right, let's get to it. Joe, let me start over. Joe, the portal is about to get absolutely nuts. We already started getting some news here, but Damian Martinez, the running back from Oregon State, is going to be entering the portal. Probably right now the biggest name in the portal for this spring cycle. I know that you were really not excited, but you were really like, oh my God, I can't believe he's entering the portal. You are a massive fan of his. Your thoughts on Martinez from Oregon State hitting the portal?
Yeah, first of all, I tweeted this out, and I just want to re-acknowledge this. Just because a kid doesn't enter the portal right when his coach leaves does not mean he's not going to leave eventually. We do this whole
there's so many things that he might want to do.
We do this whole stupid bit where it's like, credit to him for sticking around. And I will never be one of those people who makes those comments because we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. He might just be trying to finish his degree and get out of there. We also don't know if his mind might change when a new coach comes in and all that stuff. It's a good point to bring up with somebody like Noah Fifita, who's a great example of somebody. I wouldn't be shocked if he entered the portal, purely speculation. To specifically get on Damian Martinez, though, I would love to see one of these premier SEC or Big Ten teams invest in going to get him because, to me, a running back, specifically in college football, not in the NFL, college football, if you get a premier back who can take a lot of carries, who's got a big frame like Damian Martinez, you can take your offense to the complete next level. And I think a team, I know that Michigan State's in the mix because of his old head coach. That, to me, would be no fun because they're not going to be very good in 2024. I would love to see if he ended up at Miami, Ole Miss, or I think a really fun one that hasn't even been reported on that somebody commented, Missouri. Imagine him being the replacement for Cody Schrader.
They went and got Marcus a good Carroll, though, from Georgia State. I don't think that they're going to go get him.
I don't know, Damian Martinez is better than Marcus Carroll. I get what you're saying. They did already make an investment on a running back.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they won't go get him or that he's not better. I'm just saying they made the investment. I think they're going to stick with him. I agree with you. Ole Miss is getting the Parrish kid back, which makes me believe that they might not go and get another one. Logan Diggs also went there. But Logan Diggs, which he keeps denying, but it's just false that he had an injury in that bowl game, and he's going to be out for a while. I wouldn't mind Ole Miss. Can I tell you, if you're going to say SEC teams, I think Tennessee is the perfect place for him. Outright perfect place for him because, look, they have a running back that is departing. They need a back with experience that needs carries, someone that could be in pass protection. I think Tennessee is a team that also either is going to offer or has offered him, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if that's not a good place for him. But, Joe, this feels to me, and I could be wrong here, anytime I see a kid after a coaching change, no matter when it is, why do I feel like this is Michigan State? Why do I feel like this got Michigan State written all over it And I do think it would be a bad decision for him to go to Michigan State.
I think it's an easy gut decision just to sit here and say he's going to go play for his old coach.
I
think if he would have done that, he would have done it in the initial portal opening.
Maybe. Again, but I saw somebody said that he might have wanted to graduate or something like that. So, true. I mean, that could have been an outlier too.
I agree, though, with what you just pointed out here. Like, yeah, is it best for him wanting to stick with a guy who believed in him and when he was only a 3-star recruit, gave him the football and let him emerge as this budding star at a football program that typically doesn't produce premier talent? I just conversely think there are a couple of teams that are trying to go on this national championship run that could really benefit, and he could benefit in his draft stock and just stock in general as a college football player in his performance to hit the ground running, quite literally, pun intended. Tennessee, you mentioned, is a really good option. They're losing Jabari Small and Jalen Wright, so they're going to need somebody to take over. But I keep coming back to Miami, man. Like, could you imagine? I know that they've got some offensive line departures, but could you imagine with how well coached that offensive line is and some of the young guys there and Cam Ward and some of these receivers, how well that all could mesh together?
That would be dangerous.
That would be the best offense in the ACC, no questions asked.
I fully agree. I got to be real with you. I think that there's and we'll talk about Miami more after spring, but I think that they're a team that's going to make a playoff. Like, they're going to be it's either going to be hit or miss. It's going to be high expectations or bust for Miami. And I think that's going to be a good place. And they did offer him. I would lean Tennessee, though, in a lot of different ways, because I know that Josh Heupel is not going to screw up offensive play calling. The kid could go to Miami and it just not work out for him. So, look, regardless, I think Oklahoma offered him too, Joe. If I'm not mistaken, they want to back too. I think that's really telling from them. I just think the kid could probably pick really anywhere he wanted to. If he wanted to go somewhere, he probably could. But he's a really talented back. Look, had a phenomenal year, has really rose up the college football running back ranks, and a lot of people don't know him because a lot of people just don't watch Pac-12 football at night. And when we talked about Oregon State a lot last year, his name constantly came up, right? Or 2 years ago, whichever one. He constantly came up. So I think that he's going to be a good addition for somebody. I will tell you, I will admit this. I don't like a running back, though, transferring in spring and pass protections early in the season.
It's one of the easiest positions to pick up.
No, like I understand that. But I think that Heupel, I know for a fact that Kiffin, as an example, asks his running backs to do very difficult things in pass protection, which can, does he start a season off at the 2? Miami wouldn't have to do that. So I don't know.
I see the concern there. But again, I'd be more concerned of a quarterback stepping in, which is why I think that we see such little movement with quarterbacks in the second portal opening. Running back is the one position where it's like, okay, see the whole
plug play. You're right.
It's one of the positions where if you've got good vision, that's all you need. And I think he's displayed that plenty. Mm-hmm. I just want to see him on a team with a good offensive line, because he had a good offensive line last year, and you throw him into the mix for a team that's contending. I just pay attention to his impact at Oregon State, of all places, and how good they became when he was in a rhythm. I'm so excited by this thought of put him into the mix with one of these teams that we're talking about that is contending for the playoff, and just watch him go to work. He could be, and I think should be, a 1,500-yard rusher if everything goes according to plan and he finishes the season fully healthy if he goes to the right team.
He ain't doing that in the SEC.
You want to bet?
Yeah, I do. Can I give you a hot take? I've been doing a lot of defensive study breakdowns. I don't think that you have a back in the SEC this year that has over 1,200 yards. I do think that the SEC this year defensively will be better than the last 2 years. Outside of Georgia, looking at it as a whole, I think that they'll be overall better. And I don't think that I'm talking about the only back that I think can get there, you know who it is? ATN. So only one, because he's got the personnel and people around him to do it. Other than that,
he doesn't get another DUI.
God
look,
damn you.
I agree with you. Next year, all of the best players in college football are defensive players. And pay close attention. It is going to be a defensive year. It is going to be a year where offensive output is down. There's not as sexy a names at quarterback. They all just went on to the NFL. You're absolutely right there. But, dude, come on, man. You give him a good offensive line. I think Jalen Wright rushed for 1,000 yards, averaging like 12 carries a game at Tennessee. You give him 20 carries at Tennessee.
You want to know why he only had 1,000? Because when he played Alabama, when he played Missouri, when he played those other teams, he couldn't get anything going.
Yeah, like these guys, like these teams don't have cupcake games on their schedule that boost their stats. I don't know, dude.
That no back in the SEC has over 1,500.
Okay, deal. And then second counter bet to this, Damian Martinez is going to finish as a top five rusher in 2024.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I not only do I not disagree with that, I think that you're spot on. I think that defensives are going to be so much better this year that it's going to be insane. And you know what else defenses have too that nobody's talking about? I asked Brian Kelly this the other day. Did you see the clip? I don't know if you saw the clip. Joe, I keep talking to people. I think these radios and the helmets are they're benefiting defenses more than they're benefiting offenses right now.
In terms of them being able to
talk to players, getting aligned, and what the coverage is.
That doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. You want to move on from Martinez?
Yeah.
Yesterday, Joe, it was reported and then not reported and then reported and then not reported again that USC defensive tackle Bear Alexander was playing hokey pokey with the portal. Looks like he's staying at USC. Did my man just get a massive payday?
I think there's a lot of angles that could be speculated on this. Again, there's no sourcing to this. Some have said that he probably used this as an opportunity to see if he could get a little bit more money. Far and away, he's the most important defensive player going into next season. He is the best player that they have. And there's this huge concern that we have shared and that a lot of people have shared is if they're strong enough to defend the run in the Big Ten. So keeping this guy happy is really freaking important. Getting him the money that he needs is really freaking important. So he recognizes this, and I'm sure he's got an agent. I also think what I said earlier is true. I heard from one parent yesterday that the son played with him at one of the four freaking high schools that he played at, that he was quick to hop out as soon as he didn't feel comfortable. I think that he was considering it and then saw everybody criticize him. And I think it might have been a come to Jesus moment, a real sobering moment maybe for him, where it's like, yeah, you know what? I probably should stay. I probably shouldn't jump to my seventh school in 7 years, because it gets to a certain point where that will hurt your draft stock. That absolutely will. So I don't know. There's a million things that could be true.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay. Because the kid never said anything. The kid didn't retweet anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't go around like liking other teams' stuff. He was not on social media. And what do we normally see for kids in the portal? As soon as it's reported that they're entering the portal, what do?
They start goofing off.
They start goofing off. They start saying random stupid stuff. Okay. And all hell breaks loose. Why didn't he do that? So I do want to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Here's what I do think happened. I do think he got paid. I do think that he put their feet to the fire and they paid him. Also believe it was bad reporting because there was some information out there earlier in the morning, and then all the big networks ran with it, and he was like, what? None of you? And you know what's even worse? The kid came out and tagged people that he didn't talk about and then deleted the tweet.
Ooh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, like, I had not talked to you. Like, what are you talking about? So, I mean, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. However, it's really tough for me to do that because he's been to six schools in 7 years. You know, so but good, but you know what? Can I tell you something? Good on Lincoln Riley and USC, because in a deeper thing here, Joe, USC's recruiting defensively, and we have not seen this from Lincoln. I mean, they go to Georgia, they get a big-time kid out of the state of Georgia. They have recruited better since Alex Grinch has left. And you got to give them that now.
They also took a kid who almost killed another kid by putting peanuts in his – I forget what it was, which is such a probably one of the stupidest recruiting stories I've ever seen. I digress. Yes, they've been a little bit
How
better.
Do you want to say that and not talk about the Kalen DeBoer stuff?
Well, the other thing
you almost kill somebody, and you don't want to talk. You want to talk about that?
Wait, do you know the story though? The one of the kids that
committed, he knew he was allergic to peanuts or something, and put him in there.
Yeah, teammate was allergic to peanuts and something along the line. He exposed the kid to peanuts, thinking it was funny. Kid, you know, goes into anaphylactic shock or whatever the full thing was. But it's a serious situation. It's also really unbelievably stupid that he thought that was a good idea. Not going to dive super deep on that because it is what it is. But he has made more of an effort to go and get guys that are a little bigger bodied, stronger defensive linemen. That's been one of our biggest criticisms, right. My biggest criticism of him. He is being more intent and understanding that they can't recruit the way that they did previously if they want to succeed. I think a lot of it goes to De'Anton Lynn. I'm a big fan of De'Anton Lynn, and I think that the way that he was able to produce success at UCLA was prioritizing the defensive line. And he is going to continue to do that if he's going to be the DC there for a few years.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So interesting. Very interesting that he is staying at USC. Good for him. You know, like if the kid got paid, good for him. This is the game that we play. Because any one of those coaches can get up and leave at any moment if they want to. Good on the kid if he got paid. Also, there was another transfer portal move today. He's technically not in there. He's got to wait for the 15th. But Florida State DB Greedy Vance, actually from the city of New Orleans, or Algiers technically, is also hitting the portal. Joe, he was in a battle for that slot position. Don't know if he won it or not, but he also has entered the portal. A lot of Bama fans think that he is going to Alabama, believe it or not.
Yeah, he's got some pretty good experience over the past couple of years. Not like incredibly worried for Florida State because I think they've got some pretty good depth in their secondary and on the defensive side of the football. I think it's just a kid looking for a different opportunity. It didn't really seem like there was much of an aggressive backlash. I think it might not be the right word, but it didn't seem like Florida State fans were super upset over this departure.
Well, he went into a battle there in spring for that nickel corner, and then he enters the portal. So it looks like that he got beat out.
This is a good example, I think, of what the transfer portal is supposed to be, which is competition. Things aren't working out.
Hey, go find an opportunity to play. I want to play.
Right. He's going to be a good player for another defense that needs him. Alabama would be great, as you said, and you don't think LSU, though, is a possibility?
I do. Well, I'm not going to say that. And it's because that's a big topic that I got to talk about tonight. Brian Kelly said he was only attacking defensive linemen in the portal, which I don't. I'm going to hold off on that statement for the current moment. I do think that there would be a chance that LSU will offer him because they offer every LSU kid that gets in the portal. So LSU, as an example, is over the scholarship limit. Okay, they're at 87 scholarship players, so they, no matter what, they got to cut two. And then they got to go get defensive linemen, so they got to cut more. Adding another guy at a position that you're already very deep at and have experience, I don't know. Let's see, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know that. But I would not be shocked. I will tell you, though, I don't think he's good enough. I don't think he's good enough to play at Alabama. I legitimately don't. I don't think he's good enough to play in the top teams in the SEC. I think he needs to go to like a Kentucky. I think he needs to go to like maybe a Tennessee where they need him. I don't think he can go to the big three in the SEC, nor can he go to Texas.
I mean, I haven't watched enough of his tape to like
go pop in that Louisville film. Go pop in the Georgia film.
Okay.
Dylan Bell abused him. And it's not like Dylan Bell's a burner either. You know, like, when, Joe, when you have a hybrid H-back slot wide receiver, Anquan Boldin, that's separating from a guy, I don't like that. I mean, because he should be a speed guy in that nickel. Dylan Bell better not be running away from you, big dog. So
it's not a bad point.
You know, I here's what I think the kid can play. I think that he's rangy, but he's just not good in man-to-man coverage. If he plays, goes to a defense that plays a lot of zone, which we saw at times that Florida State did, he can be very deadly. So, look, maybe he can play at Bama. Maybe he can. Maybe I'm just being a little too harsh, but we'll see. And maybe he does go to LSU. I don't know, but they're stacked at that room, meaning bodies, not necessarily.
Speaking of competition and battles, you want to get to this quarterback battle segment?
Yeah, we can. Which one do you want to start off with first?
So I think it's important when we're talking about these to highlight the ones that are ones that are the most important for implications in 2024. And you said this in the beginning, Ohio State has not been super highly covered up until the past couple of weeks that there was a legitimate chance that there was going to be competition here. I think as soon as Will Howard committed, everyone thought locked in, he is going to be the starter. But, you know, book it, he's going to be the starter. But it sounds like not only are there murmurs that Devin Brown is killing it, but on top of this, it sounds like Julian Sain's doing really well too. I just think that we're this deep into spring practices and there's some time until it's going to be done for Ohio State. The fact that the competition feels this wide open from the articles that you read, it really does make me believe that there's maybe one, not a ton of confidence in Will Howard, and two, there's enough talent for once that another guy could take over. I really personally think, and this isn't me saying he will start, I would love to see Devin Brown. I really think that his physical profile fits perfectly with what Chip Kelly wants to run. Why am I blanking on the name of the guy who just took the BC job? Holy crap.
Bill O'Brien.
If Bill O'Brien was still there, I would argue no questions asked. It probably would have been Will Howard. But I think that the minute Chip Kelly enters the equation, move
when O'Brien was there.
Now that Chip Kelly's in the equation, I think it completely shifts the dynamic of this whole thing.
You bring up an interesting point with the Bill O'Brien thing, and it's something that I haven't really thought about that. And that is interesting because they brought in Will Howard when Bill was there. I think that this battle, if it really is a battle, which a lot of Ohio State fans say it is, I think it's a win-win because I don't think that Will Howard's going to hit the portal again. And, Joe, the worst-case scenario is that Devin Brown sucks and Will Howard's your serviceable backup that can play game manager and lead you to where I think that you want to go. Here's the thing for me, and you shot me down on this, and I kind of want to go back to it. Devin Brown would have to have, if he's going to be the guy, and then if he's going to be the guy to lead them, Joe, where they need to go, okay, he's going to have to take one of the biggest leaps from where he was last year to this one. By the way, he hasn't started a game. Right? And like he has not started. So
he's also relatively young, though. It's not like this is a super
senior. Sure. But how many times have we seen first time starters that have been in his situation that's lost a battle? Okay. Then we saw him again and we've seen him multiple times. He hasn't looked good. Joe, he's going to have to gain experience. Now, if he were somewhere else and it could buy time where he could, you know, a team could go 9-3 and he can get all the experience he needed, I think he'd be fine. They can't do that at Ohio State right now. Their aspirations by what they did in the portal is national championship or bust. And I just don't know if Devin Brown is good enough. Okay, well, let me back up. I don't know if he's experienced enough to take them where they need to go. I understand what you're saying, and I 100% agree with you. The style that he plays with is exactly what Chip wants to do. Will is exactly what Bill O'Brien wanted to do. 100% agree. The problem that I will struggle with and which I will need to see, hey, man, how big of a leap did this kid actually take? Because, Joe, we saw him. I know he got hurt, but we saw him in game one against Indiana, and he couldn't beat out Kyle McCord. So are you really going to expect me to believe the hype right now? That's the issues that I have with him. One final thing on him. Joe, I know that they want to run the football, and they're going to, and they got the backs and they got the dudes to do it. Joe, if they want to win a national title, he's got to be more than serviceable when it comes to throwing the football around the yard. And what was the biggest issue that he had?
What?
I mean, to me, Joe, it was like I'm making a very bad joke. It was like Brucey from The Long Short. Hey, Brucey, hit me. The ball goes over here. He's not accurate enough now.
He doesn't have enough reps for us to like really be able to assess that.
No, McCord struggled against Notre Dame when he had massive struggles. If Devin Brown really was, if it was as even as he said, he would have gotten other reps in other meaningless games.
I kind of disagree with that. I think that they were towing this line of trying to make sure that Kyle McCord was confident with his ability. You know, that you want to place him in a situation where he doesn't feel like somebody breathing down his neck. But the season's passed, and then
one for three for -2 yards against Indiana, Joe.
Dude, he had three passes. That's three throws. Like, a lot can happen in an offseason.
He had a total of -5 yards against Indiana.
Look, this all just comes back to what I don't think that it was a foregone conclusion that Will Howard was going to be some savior.
You just don't like Will Howard.
No, fuck that. You know what? But that's my whole goddamn point. My whole goddamn point is he comes in and everyone's all, this is perfect. Look, he's so experienced. He's a big, strong kid. He's going to be so good at Ohio State. He was perfectly mediocre at Kansas State, and he got beat out by Avery Johnson. And look what's about to happen now. If he was as good as he was, there'd be no competition. There'd be none. But there is. There's suddenly this competition between a guy who apparently was dog shit last year. You know what? Hell, I'm going to flip the angle here before we talk about Michigan in a second. I would argue that this is more telling of Will Howard than anything. Well, why is he competing when he's supposed to be so good? He started a season and a half at Kansas State.
BS. Multiple teams that have taken portal quarterbacks have given the guy that had been there and during the spring and told them that they're competing for the starting job when they weren't really even starting for the starting job. The school that I covered did it twice. With Jaden Daniels, they got Miles Brennan's peg leg ass running out there, and they said he's competing for the starting job. The hell he was competing for the starting job.
Riley Leonard's hurt. He's not competing for the starting job. Everybody knows that Riley Leonard's the starting quarterback in Notre Dame. You want to know why? Because he's not dog shit.
Yeah, but that's different. You didn't have a top 50 guy at quarterback that went there like Devin Brown was. So all I'm saying is you have a highly talented individual that's been there. Okay, people love him. And they're gonna let him battle to see if he can win it. Can I be real with you? I don't think he can.
Well, we'll have to see what comes.
Here's the real truth. Here's the real truth before we get out of here. Julian Sain's better than all of them.
Well, that's the most impressive part is that Sain keeps getting brought up. You keep hearing his name. I'm excited, man. I think that Julian Sain in a year's time when he takes over this job is going to be
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are we sure they make it through the year?
I think it's really risky, and you just said this. If you're trying to win a national title, you're not putting a true freshman.
The only one that did it, and you hate him, but the only one that did it was Dabo. And I don't know if Saiyan is on the level of a Lawrence.
That's why, I just don't. There was a completely different level of hype coming in with Trevor Lawrence. And Saiyan's talented. Yeah, but
hype and actual reality of how good.
The whole point with Trevor Lawrence is that, everyone saw that it was there. And it was like, okay, as soon as he steps on the field, he's going to be a first overall pick. Like,
Yeah. Had multiple games as a freshman that he was below or at 50% completion percentage was right. Trevor Lawrence. So we'll see. All right. Want to go to Michigan?
Yeah.
All right. Alex Orji or bust. They will lose every game if Alex Orji isn't the starter. The best name in college football, Alex Orji for Heisman.
I don't know about that part, and I think you're just feeding into the bit. There's a lot of names in this one, which is kind of funny. It's Jaden Denegal, Alex Orji, Jaden Davis, and Jack Tuttle, all of which are not the same style of quarterback, which makes it even funnier. But it feels like, and some of the stuff that you read about the Michigan situation, Alex Orji seems like he's the leader. The way that they used him last year is kind of reminiscent of what we'll see a lot of times with a lot of football programs. Yeah, you like a kid, you get him on the field, you work him into the offense, and then eventually he's ready to rock. I have no idea how good he is as a passer. I mean, I got to be completely honest. I don't know what he's going to do as a passer.
Can I give you a hot take?
Other than him winning the Heisman?
Yeah, because I was bullshitting there. Mm-hmm. Everybody and their mama knew when he was coming into the game what he was doing, and they still couldn't stop it. So what happened? You know, like, what happens now that the kid, even if he's a 55-60% completion percentage guy, even if you couldn't stop him when you knew he was running the football?
Wait, I agree with that take, but counterpoint, the whole offensive line's gone. And the whole offensive line was the reason why they ran the ball so well on any given down.
Facts. But a zone read, if we're being honest, which is mm-hmm. what a lot that he did, I'm going to be real with you. We used to make jokes as offensive linemen that zone read plays were a play that we could just hold and get to second level and kind of take it off. Mm-hmm. Because you're really just making one read on an end, and then you're getting to the outside is what he did. He wasn't running through the middle. Everybody knew what he was doing, which is why I think it was more impressive by him. Also, here's the thing. When you put it in the notes for the show, here was the thing. The first thing that hit my mind. Who was his offensive coordinator last year?
Sharon Moore.
And who put him in the games constantly? Sharon Regardless Moore. Of what happens, Joe, game one, the kid's going to be the dude. Like, he might not be the quarterback by game 13. Game one, he's going to be the starter. There's no question about it in my mind.
Yeah, I think the best way to just round this one out is like this. This one feels the most obvious. It's a battle, but it feels really.
I don't really think it's a battle.
Yeah,
I really don't. Like, because Joe, again, you won a national championship. God, Joe, he ran five plays in a national champ. So you have enough faith in him to run plays in a national championship game. By the way, Joe, you were up three. It's not like you were kicking their ass at the exact moment. So
let me throw this in there really quick. There's all these names in the mix. To me, that kind of tells me, like, I don't know who even second is right now. You know, like, I don't know who
they don't know who second is right now.
Exactly. I don't know what any of these other guys even bring to the table. I know what Alex Orji is. I think the coaching staff knows what Alex Orji is. And I think if they're smart, again, what we're talking about here, they can use him as a contributing player while he was still learning the game as a young member of the team. They got him on the field in important moments. That's all I need to know. He's going to be the starter.
Right. All right. You want to get to Nebraska?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So we head on down to the Corn State. We go to Nebraska. Joe, obviously this quarterback battle is going to be centered, regardless of who wins it, around one guy, that is Dylan Raiola. But he might not be the starter come the opening game. But then again, he might be. You do have Dante Dow. I can't say the kid's last name. Dodell, excuse me if I'm who is going to be a running back that he came in with, the transfer. But you do have, say the kid's name, start at HH.
Heinrich Harburg, I think, is the pronunciation. It's a tough year for name pronunciation.
It's a very tough name, and you know my Cajun Southern ass can't pronounce it. Can I give you a hot take? I don't care what any other kid's doing. If you're Nebraska, you got to play him. You got to start him. Can I tell you? Because you're in a rebuild, and it's about time you get some shit going. You want to go get some recruits into Nebraska? Let Dylan Raiola start for you. The kid's more talented than any of them. We can't even pronounce the other kid's name. playing, Joe. I mean, don't make this overcomplicated.
So the Harburg kid, for some context here, was the starter down the stretch. He did fine. He led the team in rushing, I think. I think he had like 500 yards rushing. The experience is good, and it's important in the sense that if things go wrong with Dylan Raiola, he can take over at any point. But like, I look at Jaden Rashada contributing early. I look at Dante Moore contributing early at UCLA, and different situations, but them being able to go out there and just really amaze us and flex their capabilities and their traits. Didn't finish the season, either of them, for varying different reasons. Raiola needs to go out there. They're not going to win much in 2024. Let him go make mistakes. Let him, as you're talking about, generate buzz. Arch Manning generated buzz from the bench. Dylan Raiola is going to do it 10 times that if he goes out there, wins a game that he's not supposed to. Recruits are going to buy in. He's a natural guy. I think he's a natural playmaker, and he is just right for changing the direction of the program. Also, more importantly, it's a great example of a kid who keeps changing his damn mind. Get him on the field. Like, don't let him change his mind. Let him start to feel good about the situation.
Well, and you need, if you're going to be serious about changing the program around, and if you believe the kid is as talented as he is, you got to get him game reps, right? Like, if you get him game reps, the kid, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Don't mess around with it.
Don't mess around with it. By the way, I know a lot of people aren't high on this, but it's not like that they didn't go and get some pieces. Joe, they went and got Isaiah Neyor. They got Jamal Banks, both wide receiver transfers. They went out and got guys that they think that can play and that can actually and change some things for them. Why not let Dylan go? If the kid's more talented than all of them, but one's got more experience in this specific situation, not every time, like at Ohio State, Joe, no, don't start Julian saying, because you're going for a national title run. This is a completely different scenario. The only thing I will say is if you don't want to break the kid's like spirit, like game one, down one, snap one, I understand letting somebody else with experience start. But by game three, the kid's going to be in there starting, rotating, rolling. Bottom line. Because Nebraska's going to lose and they're going to call for him. Raiola. 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 And the big red machine is going to get their quarterback.
Yeah, I can't even – I'm, like, trying to think of a counter-argument to, like, why it would make sense for him not to play, other than if he's not ready.
Remember John Kitna – I'll never forget this. Remember when John Kitna started over Carson Palmer with the Bengals? Okay, the year that Palmer got there – and you were probably too young, but Kitna started –
I do remember a bit.
Okay, started over Carson Palmer. And the reason was is that they did not want to break his spirits because they weren't going to be a good team. By the way, they made the playoffs. They had a guy named Chad Ochocinco. I don't know if he was any good. TJ Hushmanzu, okay? Hushmanzada. By the way, his daughter played softball at LSU. Long story short, let the kid play. Let him get the reps. Let him at minimum get him time.
My whole point was what I was just saying is I don't think that there's any real downside to this. Like it really reminds me, not reminds me, but like you can draw a parallel to Jaden Rashada being named the starter at the beginning of the year at Arizona State. I think he had a bad injury that kept him out a decent bit of the year last year.
Break his tibia.
I forget what it was, but
yeah, he had a horrible injury.
I don't think Nebraska's offensive line or roster is bad enough that he's going to get smoked that badly. So this is the benefit of him stepping in year two under Matt Rhule. You know that there's at least a little bit of a foundation being built. And I think if you're Matt Rhule, allow for Raiola to be the foundation. Allow for him to help establish the culture. If that kid goes out there and balls out, it is only going to increase the attraction for the program. It is only going to draw more and more positive attention. People are going to start talking about, is Nebraska back? Are they coming? Are they going to be able to, you know, get back in the national conversation in a couple of years? Let them do all that bullshit. That is all perfect for Matt Rhule.
All right, you want to end with USC or Oregon?
I want to talk about, yeah, let's talk about USC.
Started Oregon.
Yeah, let's talk about USC really quick.
All right. USC, Joe, also has a quarterback battle, but you know how high I am on Miller Moss. So go ahead, tell me, why do you think that this is a battle?
I don't think this is a foregone conclusion. I really don't, because if they were so confident in Miller Moss, they would have gone after a backup. They would have gone after some. I understand that Jordan Maiva was going to go to Georgia to be a backup, but he was really.
No, remember the whole Will Howard thing. Remember? They went after Will Howard. Miller Moss goes off in the bowl game. Will Howard goes to Ohio State. Like, the kid committed almost.
I understand why you're bringing this up, but I don't.
Miller Moss.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I really don't. I think that he has very average traits, and I think that something that's more physically gifted, like Jordan Maiva, who was not bad last year and who fits the play style a little bit more of what Lincoln Riley's looking for. Give me Maiva, man.
You know what? They just came off a year with a kid that has a lot of traits, and it didn't work for him. By the way, Miller Moss just beat out a five-star. A five-star left him. Malachi Nelson left because Miller Moss clapped him.
That wasn't because of Miller Moss.
Joe, Malachi Nelson got beat out by Miller Moss. That's why Miller Moss was at two.
There's not enough time for him to have beat him out. He was a true freshman last year. There wasn't like, I don't think that applies. I don't think that applies here.
Joe, you know, if Malachi Nelson was good enough, you knew that he would be at two. Stop the cap.
There's very few true freshmen, and he was considered to be raw coming in.
You mean like Nico Iamaivea? Because he sure as hell did it.
I don't think that's a one-to-one comparison. I don't think that's a direct one-to-one comparison.
One gets second team reps, the other doesn't.
It's also easy or possible that he just didn't fit with the program. You know, we haven't seen him play. We haven't seen him contribute. Whatever.
All right.
We're not going to agree on this one. I really think that Maiva is more in play than we consider, just because he played great in the bowl game. Here's the better way to put this. Moss might win the job. I wouldn't be shocked if Maiva doesn't take over halfway through the year.
I'll be fair with that. I think I could be wrong.
Because, like, at the end of the day, he was going to go to Georgia to be the backup, but why the hell would he change his mind to go to USC if he didn't think there was a legit shot of him starting?
Because I heard some things about him at Georgia that were told to him that did not come to fruition. That's a whole different story for a whole different day. And I do think that USC, from what I was told by some Georgia people, told them that, listen, this is going to be Miller's last year, and then you're the guy, which is complete and utter horseshit. Okay, complete and utter horseshit. But he was never going to play at Georgia, ever.
It's not impossible. He could have taken over for
he was not going to play
Carson at Georgia. Beck. I mean, Brock Vandergriff up in the pool. He could have played after Carson Beck.
Oh, I thought you said he could have played over.
No.
Here's
Brock. Okay. Go ahead. Okay,
here's the truth before we got to go. Miller Moss does make very good decisions. And like I told you before, in college football, I am okay with taking a guy with less traits in college football if he makes the right decisions. Again, I will continue to go to it. We have seen multiple now, Joe, national title winners not have the traits as others, but be serviceable, make right decisions, and Joe, they've won national titles and won football games. I think Miller Moss is that guy. The kid does have some really good ability. I think people are too low on him. They look at what happened at USC and they shit all over him. He did not look bad in that bowl game, and you got to give the kid flowers. You got to. He makes right decisions. Go pop in the film. Every decision he made in that bowl game was the right one.
One game. He's played one game.
But here, okay.
Against a bunch of backups. A bunch of guys that were.
Y'all come guzzle over Caleb Williams, who never made the right decisions.
Play one football game. I at least have games where Caleb took over.
I never thought that I'd say the words.
You say it all the time. You say it all the time on this show. You say Colin Kessel all the time. Don't act like that you're some saint for holding your tongue.
I
just
didn't think that I would say cum guzzler today.
Okay. You say it every day.
That's not true.
Once a week.
Once a month.
All right, once a month. I'll give you that.
All right. We will see you guys again on Sunday. Good show. Good, sir.
Yes, sir. We'll be you back Sunday. Ben? Yeah, I hear Ben's getting...
Yeah, he said, stop yelling at him. I guess he's talking to me about you. So, Ben's sticking up for you. You got to start talking to my son, man. This whole thing, you're trying to get with him to beat me in NCAA, like all this kind of stuff that you're trying to do.
He's going to – your roster is going to be on my team when we play each other. You just wait.
I swear to God if that happens. All right, we'll see y'all on Sunday, guys. Peace.